Continue on in our sermon series on thinking faith, right? The idea is that the question is, like, how should our faith impact how we think? How should our faith not only impact how we think, but specifically in regard to certain situations? So last week we talked about how our faith, how our thinking ought to be impacted by our faith in regard to stress. Right? We have different things that are coming at us in different ways, but how, as believers in Jesus Christ, like, how should we respond to that? How should we think about that? How should we move in that? Today we're going to take a little bit further, a little bit different direction, I guess, and looking at the topic of depression. Many people deal with depression each and every day of their lives, and I'm going to get into how we might define that here in just a minute. But it is different than just being overstressed. It's different than just having things coming at you in different ways. And my hope is that I'm going to be able to illustrate that for you here in a moment. But it's important that we recognize, first of all, that the church ought to be speaking to these ideas, right? Just because you deal with depression doesn't mean that you aren't saved. Let me be clear about that, right? And just because you deal with depression does not mean that you can't be saved. It's really important that we recognize that. In fact, I would actually go so far as to say that while the devil can use symptoms of depression to kind of keep us from everything that God would have us to be, I also think that the biggest tool of the devil in regard to this subject is the fear of what other people might think if they know that I deal with depression. And so many times we'll be in a room full of people that are all struggling with similar type things, or at least feeling the same way, but nobody says anything in the room because, well, what if somebody else finds out that I'm feeling like this, right? When what if we all just like talked about what's going on inside of us? Not like we're afraid we're losing our salvation, but we, like, as if we could get some encouragement from one another. As if maybe we could share some scripture with each other to be an encouragement, to let the power of God's word actually work in the midst of all this. So what I'm hoping today is that not only will we get to explore how we should be thinking, how our thinking should be impacted by our faith in regard to depression. But I really hope that this opens a conversation for you as well. Whether this is something that you deal with or not, I guarantee that somebody very, very close to you is. And so if we're afraid to have the conversation, then we rob God of the opportunity to redeem and restore in that situation. Right? And so we can't hold people at a distance as if they're unclean just because there is some emotional distress that they're working through. We've got it to instead work as Jesus did in moving toward people that are struggling in order that the grace of Jesus Christ might lift them up. Amen? Amen. That's not even my introduction yet. So you guys are really getting your money's worth today. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this here. Lord God, I thank you so much for your presence here among us right now. I do want to just stop long enough to say, Lord, that I thank you for our children. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to minister to them even now. And I pray, God, that you would bless the kids in Mighty Church and Power Church, that you would just speak your good news into their lives even now. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity for all of us even here to hear from your word. I ask, God, that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone, God, that your message would be proclaimed in this place, and that you would be glorified in all things. Father, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see your truth and to respond by faith to you, that you would be pleased with the obedience that we give to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let me read sort of a working definition here, if you will, of depression, and then I want to read some scripture for you and kind of show you some of what I mean. So the definition that there's a lot of different ways you could look at this, depending on which website you may have pulled up or which dictionary you're looking at might be a little bit different. But this is the basic idea. Depression is the persistent feeling of sadness or loss of or loss of interest that characterizes this major depression. And it can lead to a range of behavioral and physical symptoms. Again, we need to recognize this is not just an internal thing, but it manifests itself physically in our lives as well. These things might include changes in sleep, appetite, energy level, concentration, daily behavior, or self-esteem. Depression can also be associated with thoughts of suicide. I'm going to address that here in just a moment as well as to why those things tend to be connected sometimes. What I want to read for you is out of Matthew chapter 11. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd love for you to turn with you there. It'll be up here on the screen as well. But Matthew chapter 11, and I want to read for you verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And this is Jesus talking, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And everybody who knows that hymn would say, "I found it so, I found it so." Amen. If you don't know that hymn, you'll catch on later. So let me kind of break down exactly what these verses are talking about here, because some of these themes, and if you didn't grow up on a farm, you probably aren't very familiar with, as I did not grow up on a farm and was not very familiar with for quite a long time. But in verse 29 there, Jesus says to take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. The idea of a yoke is that if in these times that Jesus is speaking into, if you were a farmer and you wanted to plow a field, you did not yet have access to John Deere, right? You're just a few years shy, and so what you had to do was you had to get some cattle or oxen or something. Like, you had to get some big old animals, right? And you usually wanted more than one, because the more you got, the faster, the harder they're able to pull, the better the plow is able to go in the ground. And so the idea is that you have these two animals in particular, and you have this piece of wood with this rope that goes underneath, or sometimes there might even be sort of a wooden hoop underneath. And what it would do is that yoke would actually go on the shoulders of the oxen or the cattle there. And it would actually kind of join them together, right? So that when they pulled, they weren't pulling like mismatch and everything, but it was as if they were pulling as one, right? They were yoked together through this piece of wood that was over their shoulders. Now, this was an instrument of work. Right. This is this was not like this is not what you would put on oxen to just send them out in the pasture and enjoy some time off. Right. Like when this went on their shoulder, like then they even knew, like, okay, it's about to go down. We gotta plow this whole field up here. Right. And so that you'd have the yoke on there, and then the farmer would be would have the plow behind the oxen and would just be trying to drive that plow down into the ground as hard as possible to be able to till up the ground and eventually put some seed in there and get some whatever it is that you're going to grow and all that kind of stuff, right? So, here Jesus is talking to some people who are feeling burdened, right? And in the midst of their burden, what he tells them is, see, what you got to do is you got to take my yoke and put it on you. I get an amen from Boyce. That's great. That doesn't exactly seem like a great solution to someone who already feels burdened, though, right? Like, it's almost as if we're saying, okay, so you already feel weighed down in the situation that you're in, and so then Jesus comes along, and he's just kind of adding on to that to sort of, I don't know, just to put even more pressure on your life, right? But that's not exactly what it looks like. Pastor David, I'm going to need your help. And then come on up here. Matthew, Jesse, come on. I talked to the two of them already. I didn't talk to Pastor David. Sorry, you're just going to have to figure this out. And so I want you to see here. So you're going to stand over there. Matthew and Jesse, you're going to be over here. I'll get to you here in just a second. Okay. So, and I need to, we'll throw this over here. There we go. All right. So here's the idea. Here's what this kind of looks like. And here's what this feels like, I think. And I think it's important for us to see it because we know what it feels like. And I think until we see something different, it's hard to really know how to feel different. So I just want you to understand how this is going to work. So the idea is that I'm the cow, I guess. I'm burdened, all right? I'm burdened. And so this is kind of how things generally go when it comes to depression, right? Because many times we have burdens. No offense or anything, guys, but you're my burdens. We have burdens, and so what we do is we try to carry those things on our own. So Jesse, you're going to come over on this side, but just over this shoulder here. Matthew, you're going to come over on this side, okay? And you're just going to kind of push down on the top of this wood here. No, like up, yeah, both hands. There you go. Now, don't push me to the ground now, but just push down enough, all right? And so here's the deal. Like, we feel that weight, right? And for most of us that are, like, responsible people, we feel the weight of just different issues that are in our lives, right? We have a bad work situation that we'd really not like to deal with anymore. We've got issues with our spouse or with our kids and that kind of stuff. And we feel that weight and we're like, okay, like, Lord gave me some legs. Like, I can hold this here. Like, I'm going to take that and I'm going to make a workout out of this thing, right? I'm going to just get some exercise here, right? But the thing is that the longer you go, the more that weight tends to add on, right? So you got to push a little bit, but don't, like, gentle, huh? No, I'm saying you can push a little more is what I'm saying, right? So what happens? Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. All right. But you see, like, you get to a point where, like, you guys are doing a great job here, by the way, where, like, you can still do it, but it's less than comfortable. Like, this is not the position I'd like to be in for the rest of the day because I'm starting to sweat already, all right? But then we never really do, because we're trying to do it all by ourselves here, we never really do anything about it. Oh, wait, I forgot about Pastor David. Pastor David, you see that rope there on the ground? Yeah, there's a loop. Hand me the loop. Put that in my hand. Yep, okay. We're just, it's a rope, all right? All right, and so you're behind me, all right? And you just pull on the rope. Just pull on the rope. Okay, step back a little bit. All right, and don't pull so hard because this is not as easy as you might think. So David is Jesus, right? And this is usually what we do when we're dealing with depression. This is working my legs now. I'm for real. Okay. This is what we do. We've got our problems, and we're trying to, like, fix our own problems. And then we see Jesus back there, and we're like, okay, I got him. I'm still connected. I'm just going to pull Jesus along, and it's going to be great. Me and Jesus, we're handling this, right? And all the time, we're just like, this is not how I want to live my life. Think about this now. This is not how I want to live my life, right? But then this isn't even depression yet, right? This is just dealing with life stuff. Because eventually the life stuff gets harder and they push harder. Yeah, you actually can now. And this is where we get into depression. Because eventually we get to the point where it's actually holding us down so much that it just feels easier to lay down and just be done. It just feels easier not to try, because at least when I'm laying down, I don't have to push back. At least when I'm laying down, like, it feels like relief. And I still have Jesus here dragging them along, thinking that he's helping somehow. And when truth of the matter is that him pulling on the rope is really not helping my life that much. Yes, it reminds me that he's there, but it actually makes it a little harder. Depression is when we finally get to the ground. You see, you know what? I'll just stay here because this is so much easier than fighting back. All right, y'all can let go now. All right, don't leave yet. Don't leave yet, though. Don't leave yet. So now, let me show you what Jesus said. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get you there. All right, so this is what Jesus says. David, you're going to come here. All right. Sorry, I'll try not to hit you. I'll take that. All right. Now, you're going to take this. Right? Hold on. We're coming. I'm coming beside you here. There you go. Put your arm around there. All right. Now, oh, wait. Hold on. Let me do this different. Like that. All right. There we go. Now, you guys, make sure I get this right. You guys grab the rope. And you stand behind us. You got it? All right. What Jesus wants is for me to take on his yoke so that he and I can pull together. Now watch this, because it's very important how I put my arms on the burden here. Because if you notice, David is doing the heavy lifting, and I'm actually holding on to the board. See, when we take on the yoke of Jesus, he's doing the heavy lifting, but we get to go with him. That's why he can say that his burden is light, because I'm not carrying all this stuff behind me anymore. Now watch this. This is what's so great. Because then as we go along, we're going to walk this way. It's going to be amazing. All right? So we're going along. And as we get over here, right, I'm going to let go of that stuff because it's just holding me back. And then I get to walk. We're going to face them now. With Jesus. Right? Now, okay, set this down. I am sweating like crazy. You guys are making me work. Can you thank them for all their help with all this? Thank you.
Go Clemson.
Get down. Hey, Jesse, give me the whole box, actually. Yeah, my goodness. Man alive, that was more than I suspected there. Do you see the difference there? It's as we go, we take the yoke of Jesus, but we're not doing it by ourselves anymore. Like, Jesus is holding that up. And so that's why, like, we can look at verses like Matthew 11:28, and when people, like, if you're going through a hard time and people say, oh, well, you just need to take on the yoke of Jesus. Like, that sounds really nice and everything, but I want you to understand, like what exactly that means. What that means is you stop trying to do it all by yourself. Right? That is the way the devil is trying to trick us. Is he's trying to convince us that if we're good Christian people, then we ought to be able to hold it all up ourselves. When the truth of the matter is, Jesus did not die on a cross for us to be able to do it on our own. Somebody, come on. Like, Jesus didn't die on a cross so that we could justify ourselves, so that we could live in our own strength. No, Jesus died on the cross, and not only just to forgive us of our sins, like, praise God that he forgave us of our sins, but, like, the blood of Jesus and the power of Jesus Christ is able to bring us through each and every day of our lives. We don't have to be the good Christians. We don't have to look like, let me say it that way. We don't have to look like the good Christian people that have it all together. What we have to do is submit to what Jesus died on the cross to do. And that's not just to be strong, because the truth of the matter is, we're really not all that strong. We're just not. But the Word of God tells us that it's in our weakness that we come to find how strong Jesus really is. It's until we take the yoke and we actually take off our burdens and take on the yoke of Jesus, it's not until then that we really realize, like, hey, you know what? Like, yeah, there's still some issues out here, and Jesus really needs to address those issues. We can't just forget about those things, but I don't have to let them rule my life. I can let Jesus handle that. I just got to hold on to him. What I want to make sure that I convey today is not just some platitudes, if you will, of which are basically another way to say just get over it. I don't want you to hear that today. What I want you to hear today is that there is hope, and that how you feel right now doesn't have to be the end of your story. Rather, the Word of God actually has some things that ought to be impacting how you think about how you feel. And the Word of God has some things to say about when you feel like you're on the ground and you would just rather not get up and fight anymore. Like, the Word of God has some truth for you to let you know that it's okay for you to get back up. It's okay for you to lay your burdens aside and to walk with Jesus. But it has to be in a posture of surrender to Him. It's never going to be in our own strength. So what I want to do is just, I'm going to go through a few sets of verses here and just kind of speak to how those ought to be encouraging our lives and impacting how we think here. Some of these are things that you may have heard before, and you would think, oh, well, yeah, that sounds really easy to say, but what I want you to hear is that, like, that there's actually, like, spiritual power behind these verses here, right? So let me just start in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. And it says, cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So much in here that I want to try to hit at real quick. Here's some real truth that I need you to hear, particularly if you are dealing with some of these things here. There's some really, really important things you need to get here. First of all, recognize that in verse 7 there, the reason why we can cast our cares on God, particularly as we are in this relationship with Jesus, the reason we can cast our cares onto him is because God loves us. The reason why you can depend on him is because he loves you. He loves you more than anyone else. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. Like, you are worthy of love. Hear this today. You are worthy of love. And even if you don't think you are, he loves you anyway. Like, you are the apple of his eye. Like, he literally sent his own son to die on a cross, not just to forgive you, but to let you know how valuable you are to him. Like, we have to recognize that God loves us. I remember a few years back, I was talking with my mom. Somebody had, there was a pastor that, or she had read this verse in a Bible study she was doing or whatever, and she made this comment about, you know, that yeah, I know God loves me, but God loves everybody. He has to. It was almost as if, well, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of like if your kid comes to you and, you know, or like if you go to your child and say, you know what, I think you're awesome, right? You're amazing. Well, of course, your mom and dad, you have to think I'm amazing, right? It was that kind of feel like, oh, yeah, God loves me, but that's because he's God. He loves everybody, right? And it almost sort of cheapens the love of God. I just want you to know that just because God loves everyone doesn't make his love for you any less significant. Right? Like, that truth alone ought to transform everything that you do in your life. Because what that means is that if God really loved you, if God really did send Jesus to die on a cross for you, like if God really did that, then God must see some things in you that you don't even see in yourself. Like there must be some kingdom things he's wanting to accomplish in you and through you that you might not even see yourself. The implications of this are huge, but just know that you, just because you're you, are loved by God and valued so highly, okay? Let me keep on going here. The rest of verse 8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith. We do have to recognize that there is an enemy that is trying to destroy our lives. And many times the way that he gets to us is through our mind. He does. And I'm not even just talking theoretically. I'm even just talking like for myself. Like if the devil's going to get to me, it's going to be through how I think, right? And if we aren't recognizing what is happening spiritually around us, it will be really easy for us to lose those spiritual battles, right? So where it says to resist him and stand firm in the faith, we have to recognize him in order to resist him, right? And then when we see that the devil is trying to take us out, we don't have to take that as a personal offense. We don't have to take that as to say, oh, well, if the devil's trying to get me, then I must have been doing something wrong. No. In fact, it's probably just the opposite. If you're doing something right, that's probably why the devil's coming at you, right? And so you just realize if you recognize him, then you resist him and you stand firm in your faith. And I know it might sound like oversimplistic, but your faith really can change how you think. Your faith really can change how you see the world. Your faith really can change how you see yourself, because your faith will be based in how God sees you. Then the last part here of verse 9 says, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Please know, and this is where the devil tries to get us. He will try to convince us that you are the only one who feels like this. You are the only one who's ever gone through what you're going through. You're the only one who knows this kind of hurt. You're the only one who knows this kind of wound. And you sure shouldn't tell anybody else, because if you do, they're going to look at you different. They're not going to treat you the same way. They're not going to treat your family the same way. Like, you better not say anything, because if you do, it could be disastrous. And what I want you to recognize here is that what has come out here in 1 Peter chapter 5 is that we need to recognize so many people are dealing with this. Everybody is being attacked by the enemy. And if we don't start talking about it, if we're not open about it, then how are we going to help each other fight? We can't let the devil convince us that we can't talk. Because it's in our conversation, it's in our real conversation, that we're able to speak truth into each other's lives. But when we hide from each other, we don't get the opportunity to get God's word spoken into our lives, right? Let me keep going here. Let me throw, I'll do these next two. Matthew chapter 6, I think it's verse 33, but I didn't actually write that down there. What verse is it, Rebecca? I put the right. Anyway, go ahead. Just go ahead and go to the verse. 33 and 34, I think it is. Go ahead and put it up there. Make sure I got the right one here. What's that? Okay, that's all right. Proverbs 12, 25. Go to that one there. This is the one that I really want us to get, because this is where we all get to come back. Thank you, sir. This is where we all need to come back to. And that is Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up, right? We can see even through this verse fits perfectly with the illustration that I had here of how anxiety can weigh us down. Really, the difference between anxiety and what I would say, the difference between anxiety and depression is anxiety is the weight that's pushing us down. Depression is when we just would rather give up and just stay down, right? Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. This is why we need to be around God's people even more when we feel like we don't want to be around God's people at all. Do you get that? I need you to see this here. When we're at the point where we would just rather just be down for the count and just have no one else, just don't talk to me, just leave me alone, I don't want to deal with it, I just want to believe like there is no problem, when we're feeling like this is the time that we need to be around other people so much more. And I know it's hard. I realize the theory of that makes sense, that actually living that out is the hard part. But that's why, particularly if this is something that we struggle with, we need to begin to even now, as we're able to sort of talk about this rationally and everything, we need to right now begin to set up some systems so that when we might get here again, we have some people around us to know that they need to come get us, pull us up, and get us around some other people, right? Because we need to hear that encouraging word. And as long as the devil keeps us on our face over here, he's keeping us from the encouraging word that will come from the church all around us, right? Now, here's the other part of that. It's really important for us to be around other people who are seeking after Jesus, who have good news in their hearts, that are going to share that with each other. Because again, watch this. I don't need you to get up off the ground just so that you can come and hear a good word from me. I need you to get yourself up off the ground because I need to hear a good word from you. So I think we're missing that there. You gotta hear this right now. When you're on the ground over here, when you're not up and in my face, then I lose the opportunity to hear from you. Like I need that word of encouragement too. And just because I'm standing up here in front of you doesn't mean that I'm not on my face when I get home. Right? And we all kind of do that. We have to go to work. So we get up off the ground to go to work just so we can come home and get back on our face again. We got to pay bills, right? So we do what we got to do to pay bills, but the whole time we're still on our face, really, right? We got to get up and go, not just so that we can hear the good word from others, but because others are going to need to hear that good word from us too. Now the real question is, what do you do if there's really not other people around? What do you do if you're on your face or you're in your bed or you're just not moving? Right? What is step one to getting out of there? Well, Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. See, sometimes I really believe that the kind word that you need to hear actually needs to come from you. The kind word you need to hear actually should come from you. Sometimes what we need to do, there's an older gospel song that says, sometimes I just gotta encourage myself, right? Sometimes we just gotta, even if in that moment we don't believe the promises of God's word, we just need to say them to ourselves, right? Sometimes the kind word we need to hear needs to come from us to us. Sometimes that's step one for us. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up here. This is real, and for some who have never dealt with issues of depression before, it can be hard to, I remember in middle school, I had a teacher once who told me that he's never had a headache before in his entire life. So if a student comes to him and says, I have a headache, I need to go to the nurse, he didn't understand that. He was just like, just go finish your work and leave me alone, right? If you don't deal with depression, you probably don't understand how that feels. And that's not a problem. You don't need to feel bad. Don't let that make you feel bad about yourself. But the point is that there is a feeling. There's a heaviness. There's a state of being in that if you've not gone through that, you don't fully understand it. And so I want to make sure that as a church, we recognize a couple of things here. One, if you've not felt that before, just know that you don't have to feel that to be able to intercede in prayer for those who do. You don't have to understand how they feel in order to encourage them and speak that kind word to them. But at the same time, you also don't need to belittle how they feel because you've never felt it, right? We don't need to give them, well, pray harder, right? Don't get me wrong, praying's great. I'm not telling you to stop praying. But maybe what they really need is for you to pray harder. Maybe what they really need is for you to get on your face and on your knees and intercede on their behalf because they don't feel like getting up right now. But what I do know is that when you start praying for them and you start interceding on their behalf, then the Spirit of God that is working through you all of a sudden is going to come and lift them up even beyond what they're praying. So before we start throwing out these little spiritual life lessons here of just pray harder, maybe what we need to do is look at ourselves and say, like, what do I need to do to intercede for those that are really dealing with this? How can I be praying harder? How can I be searching God's word for the good word that others might need to hear? So if this is not something that is really hitting you today, just know that it ought to be hitting you because you ought to be an intercessor for those that are. And then for those that do feel this, that can relate with these feelings of depression and everything, like, I just want to encourage you today to know, like God's word is real. And this is not just, we are not looking for Sunday school answers here. We're if the question is, how do you deal with depression? The answer is not Jesus God 40, right? Isn't that the answer to every Sunday school question ever, right? It's either Jesus God or the number 40, right? It's okay. It's a joke. You can go along with it. It's okay. Now, sometimes there are some, it's messy. Sometimes it's not just simple, right? To be clear, Jesus is the answer, but it's how we get Jesus in the middle of all of our stuff. Like, how do we take on his yoke, this light, this burden that is still light? How do we take that on? This morning, as we sing, I want to invite you to trade out your yoke. I want to invite you to lay down the burdens that you've been carrying and actually take on the yoke of Jesus. To trust him enough to know that, you know what? When you lay down these burdens, that means you're not going to have complete control over that anymore. What that means is you're actually submitting to the control of Jesus in your life in regard to those things. So you can't have it both ways. If you wear both yokes, it's just you're going to be more frustrated with Jesus because you're going to think he's not doing anything. When the truth of the matter is you're not letting him. Maybe today's the day you say, you know what? Like, I'm tired. I'm sweaty. I'm tired of working so hard. I'm tired of being uncomfortable. I'm tired of feeling like this. I'm just tired of it. And I don't know how it is Jesus is going to take my junk and make my life feel lighter, but I'm just tired of feeling like this. And so I'm, as a step of faith, I'm just going to walk toward him and see what he does. As we sing, and if you would, everybody stand with me as we get ready to sing here. As we sing, maybe you just want to come to an altar of prayer and actually physically humble yourself before God and say, Lord, I lay myself before you that you would take off the yoke that I'm carrying and put on the yoke that is light, that you would carry my stuff for me. As we sing, you come and do that. Maybe you know some people that you need to intercede for. I want to invite you to be praying. Pray on their behalf. Trust God. This is a time that we have to trust God. Let him pick you up. Let him show you the way.